views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from cloudy Seattle here at Hubbard Radio on KKNW AM 1150. You may be listening somewhere across the United States on cable radio network, WBLQ in Connecticut, New York, or Rhode Island, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be glad you joined me. I've got one of my all-time favorite guests on again, and I'm not going to tell you who she is. So if you don't follow the Christine Upchurch Show on Facebook and watch the postings, or if you don't read your Transformation Talk Radio weekly newsletter, you're going to have to be in the dark for a few more minutes, because I'm going to first say hello to Mr. Benny Mathers. Hi, Benny.
Hi, Christine. Yeah, a pure veteran that we have back. So, I mean, yes. you cannot change the dial right now. You can.
No. And you know, I love the fact that she's got the scientific background, the artistic background, and she's an expert in so many areas that it's fascinating to talk to her. And we're going to be having a conversation that's of a different sort today, so I'm really excited.
Where the winding road will take us.
Yes, indeed. And the person I'm talking about is Leanne Vanier. She is an international award-winning artist, an engineer, get that, artist and engineer, an expert in the field of the science of color and light. She lectures at major medical centers, Mensa, and other places. She combines her art with her past careers, interesting combination, as a mechanical engineer and acupuncturist, to teach medical doctors, executives, and lay people alike about the latest scientific research for optimizing health, creativity, and productivity using color, light, art, and flow state, which is the topic today. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Leanne Vanier. Hi, Leanne.
Hi, Christine. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here again.
It's always great to have you because, you know, the thing I really appreciate about you is you've used, like, every corner of your brain in various ways. You're not, like, right-brained or left-brained. You've done it all. And could you share with our listeners a little bit about your journey and how you've come to the realization about flow state? And then we'll get into what flow state is.
Oh, okay. You want the just condensed version? Okay, basically, my background in little sound bites is I went from being a very left-brained mechanical engineer, not very happy, not feeling particularly fulfilled, having a lot of left-brain logical linear activity in my brain, just kind of because of the nature of that type of job and career, to transitioning dramatically over a number of years, and then I finally became a full-time professional artist 8 years ago. Fully integrating the right side of my brain, and then started teaching about all of the science of color and light at major medical centers, teaching medical doctors, that sort of thing, where then I started bringing in the left brain, which is actually where I feel most satisfied when I'm using both sides of the brain, the left and the right, true for most people. So then I started bringing in all the scientific research and using my left brain together with my right brain and finding that you can get into flow state, which is this optimal state of consciousness, and apply it in all of your left brain activities, so business, whatever you're doing.
Wow. So, you know, I have my own personal concepts of flow. How do you define flow state?
Okay, well, the term flow is kind of a relatively new term. A lot of people know it as zone, the groove, if you're a musician.
Right.
There are all sorts of different names for it. It's basically an optimal state of consciousness where you feel and you perform your best. You lose all sense of time and you have this sort of laser focus. You can power through whatever you're doing. You have all this clarity about what you're doing. You get all these insights. They just seem to come from nowhere. And you have an unlimited source of energy that you tap into. And the feeling is this feeling of transcendence. It's like total bliss when you're in that zone and you're channeling that energy.
Yeah, and I think most people can relate to that at least a few moments in their life, if not, you know, on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Is it something that just happens to us, or can we do something to create it?
Well, I was thinking about this a couple hours ago. Like, what's a good analogy for how we all have this ability within ourselves? And basically, we start off in life, we come out of the womb, and we basically are given this really high-performance sports car and this smooth, clear road in front of us, perfectly paved, no bumps in the road at all. So that's what we're given when we come into this world. And so we start driving down this road, and we're like, oh, this is great. Everything's all smooth sailing. And then we you know, get to a point where we go to kindergarten, or we're given our first coloring book, and the teachers start telling us, it's like, okay, well, you get to color this coloring book, but we want you to stay within the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't color outside the lines. And you're like, well, but it's way more fun to color outside the lines.
Right.
I want to color outside. No, you have to color inside the lines. They're like, oh, okay, if that's what it takes for me to be loved and accepted, then I guess I'll color inside the line.
Right.
So you start doing that, and then you stop following that smooth, clear road, and you start kind of going onto the gravel part of the road. And now it's not quite as effortless. It's a little bumpier because you're having to exert a lot of effort to stay within those lines.
Uh-huh.
Then we go to university, and we follow some path, or we're just in high school, and we're following some path or trajectory that society says, this is what you need to do to be able to earn a living, have a career, buy the stuff that you need, and,
right.
you know, basically all the things that aren't that important.
The shoulds that get programmed by.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that takes us even further off the road. And now we're driving in a ditch next to the road. We're not even next to the road on the gravel. And we're like, God, this is like really, I'm exerting a lot of effort trying to drive through this ditch. And you can't even see the smooth road that you used to be on. It's like getting farther away from you. And then you get into your career and your job and that sort of thing. And if you don't go back onto that path, your smooth road, you go into the field. Now you're like driving through all these potholes and all this stuff. And you're like, why is everything so challenging?
But watch out for the cows. Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, ah. But that smooth road is not very far away. It's like right next to us. Like it's really, really accessible. But so many of us stay driving in this bumpy field for so long. And every once in a while, we may have the experience of going back onto the smooth road when people do get into flow state naturally.
Uh-huh.
And then you're like, oh my God, that felt amazing.
Right.
And then you're like, yeah, but this other stuff, this bumpy stuff, is way more familiar to me. So I'm not going to stay in this smooth road because I forget what that's like. So I'm going to go back to this bumpy field because that's what's familiar. I've been doing it for so long.
Right, and not only familiar, but it's almost like we don't trust that we can have our needs fulfilled if we stay in that flow state or visit it too often, right?
Yeah, exactly, because we lose the ability to trust that we'll be taken care of and that we can tap into this limitless source of energy and information where all the answers are.
Right.
So we always know what's best for ourselves. We always have that information within ourselves, but we often don't allow that to come to the surface.
Yeah, well, I know that I've definitely driven not only on the gravel, bumpy road, but I've been in the ditches and the fields, and, you know, I went into statistics, mathematics and statistics, and worked as a statistician for many years, and ultimately, you know, got cancer and had to shift my life in terms of, you know, realized, okay, I'm not going to heal out here in these potholes. I have to get myself back up towards that road. And it's been a great lesson, but it was a hard lesson.
Yes.
How do people shift before their life circumstances force them to do that?
Well, like you, a lot of times that's what it takes. I mean, when I had my healing practice, I was also an acupuncturist. I spent about 20 years studying all kinds of alternative healing modalities, mm-hmm. acupuncture and shiatsu when I was working with cancer patients. And what you would see over and over again was that people would finally get this awakening when they had some kind of life-threatening illness, and right. or other people it would just be some kind of recurring illness or something that would kind of wake them up where they have to pay attention to it, and the pills are no longer working to suppress those symptoms. Uh-huh. So you can have that awareness. I mean, a lot of people right now are in these jobs that they're finding unfulfilling. They're looking for ways to find fulfillment and satisfaction in their lives, but they don't realize that it just requires kind of getting back onto that smooth road and realizing that it's right there. It's really accessible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, what I teach people is how to be able to tap into flow state whenever they want, because mm-hmm. when you can do that on a regular basis and bring it into all areas of your life, that road, you not only get back onto that road, mm-hmm. but the road itself recharges you. So right. you are driving along. You no longer have to be expending all this energy of your own. The road is giving you energy. So you're channeling this energy. Your
right.
car is using the energy that's coming from this smooth road, and you just keep going and going.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we're going to need to go to a quick break. But when we come back, Leanne, I'm going to want you to share with our listeners what steps they can take to get into that flow state. And we'll be back in a few moments here in the Christine Upchurch Show with Leanne Vanier.
We have fallen down again tonight. In this world, it's hard to get it right. Trying to make your heart.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health, from facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness, from chiropractic care to energy healing. We work with teens who want to put their best face forward, adults of all ages who want to maintain that youthful glow, and anyone who wants to enjoy vibrant well-being head to toe. Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area. Located on the east side, off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. If you'd like to experience the joy of relaxation, skincare excellence, and total wellness, then come experience your Serenity Bliss. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com or call 206-229-0086.
What it needs is love, love, love. Everybody, everybody wants to love. Everybody, everybody wants to be loved. Oh, oh, oh.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with Leanne Vanier, who's an award-winning artist, an engineer, and a teacher of all sorts, who's helping us to understand this concept of flow state. Now, Leanne, is this a new concept, or is this concept of flow been around for a while?
Well, it's been around for a very long time. In fact, there is a research study that recently came out about the fact that historically, they believe that we as human beings used to wake up in the middle of the night every night, have this four-hour time where we would sleep, wake up in the middle of the night, and be kind of in this semi-wake, semi-sleep state.
Yes, I've read that. Yes.
And that's where we would get into flow naturally every night. It would just be this, you know, you get all this clarity, and it's the time when your brain recharges as well, when you're sleeping at night. So you wake up, have all these insights, and go back to sleep for another 4 hours. That's just a very new study that came out recently. But Carl Jung, if you've ever heard of Jungian psychology, he was a very well-known psychotherapist and psychiatrist, you know, like around the time of World War II, and since then. But he was a colleague of Sigmund Freud. He thought that Sigmund Freud was missing a huge component of understanding mental illness and when people get very dissatisfied with their lives. And he felt that what we need to find true happiness and our ultimate purpose is to be in alignment with that, whatever that purpose is. Why were we born? Why are we here? So when you get back into alignment with what that true purpose is, everything in your life flows effortlessly. Your physical body is healthy. Your mental state is healthy. So, and you have this sense of joy and limitless energy, and all of this stuff that he basically downloaded and became Jungian psychology, the study of studying the brain, came while he was in flow state. He wasn't calling it flow state. He was calling it getting in touch with the collective unconscious, which is termed as this reservoir of all experiences of our species. So you can tap into this limitless source of information and energy and get anything you need, any answer to anything when you can tap into that. So a guy named Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi went and heard Carl Jung. He went to hear Dr. Jung speak in Zurich shortly after World War II, and he first came across this concept of flow, which he came up with the term flow because that's how a lot of people experience it.
And what was his name again? Can you pronounce his name again for us?
Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi.
Oh,
my
goodness.
It's a really, really long name. And the first name is spelled like Mihaly, M-I-H-A-L-Y. So if people Google Mihaly, I have a link to him on my website
as
well.
Great.
But anyway, so there's a book called Flow. And he spent his entire career analyzing what the common components are for people that are able to get it, tap into flow state and what the requirements are to be able to get into flow state. And he came on my radar only like less than a year ago. I had never even heard of him, but I'd been teaching about this stuff. And it turns out that a lot of the things that he writes about are like, yeah, that's exactly what I've been teaching people as far as that. Those are the requirements. So you have a list of things that you actually need to be able to tap into flow state. I have a few beyond what he has. But
What are some of those things?
Okay, well, one of the things is that, especially when I'm teaching people to get into flow state, I call it flow training, you need to set aside a clear block of uninterrupted time. So it has to be like a time that you set aside for yourself. And I usually recommend first thing in the morning before the day kind of gets caught up and we get swept away in all of our to-dos and everything like that. So having a clear block of uninterrupted time where you can focus on your own creative process and kind of focus on your tapping into your inner voice is really, really important. And one of the things that I found is that a lot of people, they make time to go to the dentist, they make time to get their car fixed, they make time and put it in their schedule, all these things that they don't really find very enjoyable, but they know mm-hmm. that they have to do them.
Right.
When you set aside time to get into flow and to create a flow practice, it's so enjoyable. It's not only enjoyable, it's actually really, really good for you, both physically, psychologically, and emotionally. So, but it's almost like we're conditioned to think, well, I can't do something that feels that good because I need to be working. I need mm-hmm. to be earning money. I need to be,
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's one of the really important things is like we need to set aside time for ourselves. And if we don't do that, then that's where disease starts to come from, dis-ease.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny, Leanne, because I've always thought of that flow state as something that just sort of happens magically. And I mean, for instance, this week, you know, I'm writing a book right now. And mm-hmm. it's about the energetics of change and the implications. And basically, I knew that there were that different people relate to the universe differently, you know, in terms of how they their belief systems and how they interact with the process of change. And that affects the energetics. Right. So I had come up with these, you know, questions to sort of help direct people, you know, which approaches are going to be beneficial, which ones aren't. But I knew that I had to come up with some sort of categories. And so there I am in the bathtub, you know, the other morning. And all of a sudden I hear five categories. There are going to be five categories. And then, uh-huh. so I was like, okay. And then about 5 minutes later, you know, there I am just like in the warm water. And another one came, you know, another piece of information came. And it's like, this is the analogy you're going to use. And then within 5 minutes, I had it all laid out. And so it's like my analytic mind had to wrap itself around it afterwards. And it's like, wow, this is really good. This is exactly what I needed, you know. But it all came in the bathtub.
Yes. Yeah. And I found that myself, and I've taught people that also. It's like if you are feeling stuck at all or blocked, go near water. Go even like walking into your bathroom sometimes will unblock things, and you can get all these insights. Take a shower, take a bath.
Uh-huh.
Something about water, it cleanses the energetic field, and it just kind of allows us to tap into these insights very, very automatically. And it'll be like, wow, I just walked into the bathroom, and all of a sudden I got this great idea. And then I have to now I have to go run and write it down before I lose it.
Right. Yeah, it's very inconvenient in the tub or in the shower.
you can condition your mind to hang on to things, but sometimes they can be elusive when they come in those flashes.
Uh-huh.
So when you train your brain, it's a lot easier to hold on to them. But in any case, bring a notepad with you. Or maybe some kind of waterproof tablet where you can just take notes.
Right. I know that for kids, they actually have these crayons you can use in the tub and in the shower. So maybe we need to keep those in the bathroom.
They're actually really cool.
Are they cool?
You've never used them. You need to get some. They are very cool.
So I'm going to look that up. Yeah, waterproof crayons that actually work. Wax by nature is waterproof, but you can't usually write with things when it's wet.
And you need to be able to wash it off, too. That's the important piece, you know, from my perspective, too, because I don't want my ideas from last year up on my shower walls.
You certainly don't want to use a Sharpie.
So I do really appreciate this notion of setting aside time for flow. So if you've set the time aside, what is it you do to sort of create that flow?
Okay, so having the time set aside, and it only has to be like 2 to 3 times a week. The more often you do it, the more quickly you'll train your brain. I can talk about the Harvard study about actually changing your brain matter. But another thing that is very helpful is having some kind of deadline or sense of urgency. It has to be something that matters to you. I personally, and it has to be challenging. I often will set, because I've worked for myself for so long and to have that discipline of, you know, having work hours. So I create self-imposed deadlines.
Uh-huh.
So even if I don't have a deadline for something, I'll be like, I am going to finish this project by noon tomorrow or whatever.
So, you know? Leanne, I'm trying to understand something because this seems kind of counterintuitive to me. You're setting deadlines. You're creating some sort of restriction when you want to get yourself into flow. How does that work? It seems like those two things don't go hand in hand, do they?
It actually, because it gives you a container to have, like, you need to have some kind of containment. Otherwise, there's, like, this vast open field in front of you, and you're like, ah, I don't know where to begin. So I use the example of when you, if you've ever seen a horse race, they take blinders and they put them on the horse. So they have, the horse has these blinders on each side of its eyes, so it can't see all of the chaos and stuff that's happening on either side of it. All it can focus on is the path in front of it.
Right.
So it can run. They know for a fact that horses run much faster when they don't have these visual distractions. So it's the same thing with inducing flow. You want to have some kind of a restriction, but it can't be too restrictive, like in the sense that also this ties in with anxiety and free expression kind of thing. If the task at hand is too easy, if it's so simple and it's boring to you, that's what I mean. It has to be something that matters and challenging.
Right.
You won't get into flow because you're like, oh, my God, this is so boring and mundane. I just don't feel like doing this. But at the same time, if you're going through a learning curve and you're learning that brand new content, you can't get into flow that way either because you're still too much in the left brain where you're trying to analyze and you're checking yourself and you're like, okay, am I doing this right? I have to remember I have to do X, Y, and Z to be able to do A or whatever. It's like if you, let's see, what's a good example that most people have experienced? When you, if you're writing, for example, and if you try to write, like say you have to write an essay for school or something like that, if you try, or your book, you try to write and you try to self-edit while you're writing and correct your grammar or correct the spelling it, mistakes or whatever it is, you won't get into flow because you keep stopping that process by toggling into left brain.
Yeah, and so that's a really good lesson to learn as a writer because, you know, I'm a very good editor. And I will, you know, wordsmith things to death in order to make it sound better. And, of course, I want the punctuation to be correct. So I have to really stop myself from getting out of that flow state and doing that editorial stuff. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Until you finish the creative part. Then, so as long it's actually not that hard to, you know, tell yourself, okay, no editing allowed. In fact, when I first started painting 8 years ago, my mantra in the first few months until I established this habit for myself, because I paint abstract, it's so easy, and I do a lot of splatters and throwing paint, and it was really easy for me to start getting attached to what was showing up on the canvas. I get a flow state, and all this stuff is kind of coming through me, and then my left brain is like, oh, wow, that's looking really cool. Whatever is, like, coming through me,
right.
And the way it's looking on the canvas is like, that's cool, and I kind of want to keep going in that direction, and then I'll do a splatter, and then some weird thing will happen, and I'm like, oh, darn, it's like that just ruined what I thought was happening, and I would literally have to say to myself, sometimes out loud, there are no mistakes, so I would not allow myself to erase or edit while I was in the flow process,
that's great.
Just so the thing could happen the way that it wanted to organically, and I was just intentional.
Yes. You know, we have to go to another quick break, but when we come back, Leanne, I'm going to want you to share with our listeners how flow state sort of catapulted you forward within your art career, and we want to get some more tips about how we can implement flow within our daily lives. More with Leanne Vanier when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to Leanne Venier. Now, Leanne, what you've been talking about with flow, it's really illuminating for me because, you know, as I said before, I'm writing a book, and I get inspiration that flows through me on a regular basis, but it's not necessarily daily or within a structured time. And so with my book, it's like, you know, I want it to be inspired as opposed to just sort of analytically created. And right. I've been waiting for the inspiration to hit me. And when it does, it's like it flows well and it might last for a couple of days off and on. But so aren't we supposed to just let the inspiration hit us, or is there another way?
Yeah, I've talked about this a number of times. The whole myth about artists is that, oh, you just are going about your day, and all of a sudden the skies open up, and some inspiration comes and hits you in the head.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like that at all. You have to create the space for the inspiration to arrive. So that's where, if you read about any famous artist, whether it's a famous musician like Leonard Cohen or famous writers, there's all kinds of them that talk about the process that they create mm-hmm. to be able to get into that zone where the writing just comes effortlessly. And it always, 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 and it's the same thing that I follow with my creative process, you have to schedule in the time. You basically, you know, I know writers that say, butt in chair. That's like the one rule to writing. The uh-huh. only way that you can be a good writer is to put your butt in the chair and do it. Uh-huh. So for me, it was like butt in studio,
right,
like at
right.
bottom. so you have to create the time, because if you sit around and you wait for inspiration, it may or may not ever come. I uh-huh. mean, I have days where it's like, I don't feel like painting, mm-hmm. but it's like, this is a studio day, so I'm going to paint. Or whatever it is that I'm doing that's a creative practice for myself, I have to schedule in that time. Actually, now, more so than before, I mean, I get into flow in whatever I'm doing. So I could be reading medical research studies, and I get into flow that way. So uh-huh. that's what I was talking about. It's like you get back on that smooth road, and then the road is recharging your battery. Just by driving down that road, everything that you do, it's not like when I go and I read medical research studies, now I veer off the road and I'm driving on the gravel. No, not uh-huh. at all. I still stay on that smooth road. And even the stuff that you would never believe is like flow inducing, like reading really dry medical research studies, uh-huh. which to me it's like they're fascinating. And I get all these big picture ideas and I connect uh-huh. the dots. And I'm like, oh my God, this ties in with this research study they're doing over in Sweden, and it connects with the one they're doing in Australia, and they uh-huh. don't even know they're all doing this. So, but anyway, so basically, yes, you do. You have to, when you're starting out, create a structure, and especially for trying to get a project done, like writing a book.
Uh-huh.
Every morning, I know that I'm going to set aside time from 8 to 10 in the morning, and that's going to be my writing time. And even if you wake up and you're like, oh, my God, I still do not feel like writing today.
Uh-huh.
You put yourself in the chair, and you start going, and you don't edit yourself, and you just flow will come. Believe me, it will. As long as you make the space for it to arrive. And then the more often you do it, you literally train your brain. Your brain changes structure. They know this from a Harvard study. Your brain changes in that the areas that are associated with memory and learning get bigger. The areas that are associated with empathy, compassion, don't get bigger. The areas that get associated with stress and anxiety literally get smaller. So you have, I mean, the benefits flow over into all areas of your life. But
that's amazing.
Structure. So that's why I always start with that point first. You have to create a dedicated flow practice, whatever that practice is.
Okay. So can you share with our listeners how you went from mechanical engineer to artist?
So I left. I was really unhappy as an engineer. I was getting sick all the time. I wasn't feeling fulfilled. I felt like that whole left brain, everything, there were so many rules. It was a very bureaucratic environment. I was working for Lockheed designing submarines. It was just very stifling for me. And I come from a background, I trained as a classical pianist as a child. And I was also always drawing and writing as a child and in early high school until I got onto this track where now you're going to go study engineering. But so for me, getting into flow was just part of my everyday life. I just, that was kind of like a really great escape for me, and it was recharging. So it kind of balanced a lot of the other stress that was going on in my life at the time. And the when I went into engineering and then, you know, university and all that left-brain stuff, and then working in this bureaucratic environment with lots of very left-brain, linear, logical people that only think in black and white, I was getting sick. I was really, really unhappy. And I think I would literally make myself sick because that's the only way I could take days off work and feel okay about it instead of like a lot of people where they'd call them sick when they wanted a day off. Because I'm like, no, I actually have to be sick if I'm going to use sick. Anyway, so I got to a point where I was so sick. I was sick in bed for 10 days. And I made the decision, I have to do something about this because this is killing me. So I decided to leave my engineering career, and I sold everything, and I took my two cats, and we moved to Italy. And I didn't speak the language, and I knew almost nobody there.
Wow.
Not to say that that's the solution for everybody, but that's what it took for resetting myself.
So, but how did you become an artist?
Oh, okay, yes. So moving to Italy, I got back into that. I got into flow all the time. I was writing and drawing and studying alternative healing modalities, and I had my own business. I was working 30 to 40 hours a week getting all this stuff done. But I was tapping into that creative flow, so I had this limitless source of energy. I come back to Austin after 7 years, or I moved to Austin after 7 years. And that's when I went back to school for acupuncture and shiatsu. Had another period of like studying, learning, then healing, and all this outward energy, and I wasn't making time for a flow practice. I wasn't doing anything creative. I was just like working all the time and studying, and I loved the work that I was doing, and I loved working with my patients. But I was feeling more and more and more depleted.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a healing practice up in British Columbia, and when I came, I moved back to Austin, and I decided to take a beginner painting class because I knew I was craving that right brain expression. So that's where it all started. I took a beginner painting class because I knew that I needed the structure to make myself create that flow habit twice a week.
Right.
So I took a class just to learn the mechanics of mixing paint. I couldn't get into flow in the class because the teacher was talking, and conversation will always pull you out of flow.
Okay.
So anyway, so I started painting abstracts at home, and then I showed those abstracts during this one-night exhibition we had at the end of the class.
But
all this positive feedback, and these were the paintings that I was creating in flow state, in pure flow, that I just was tapping into because I was using the color energies that I needed.
And you were a beginner.
Yes, I was a total beginner. I had never painted before at all. But tapping into flow, I channeled something, and I was like, I'm like, yeah, these look kind of cool. But when I showed them, and all the art faculty at the local community college here where I was taking this class, they're like, oh my God, these are amazing. And I'm like, really? I'm like, and I'm like, they're my very first abstract. But I don't know. Like, I decide, okay, well, my intuition, because my intuition was talking to me loud and clear. I'm like, okay, you need to leave the one-on-one healing work and become a full-time artist. So I'm like, okay, I'll do that. A couple months later, I get a studio. And 2 months after I get a studio, I put up a website. And I have very little work on there, but I put up a website. And then 2 months later, I get contacted by this international curator in Italy inviting me to participate in this art show, this big international art exhibition called The Spirit in Art. Uh-huh. And she specifically requests my very first paintings, which I named Synchronicity, which if anybody knows what that term is, it's a Jungian term. So Carl Jung coined this term. It means meaningful coincidence. And anyway, so I'm like, perfect. This is really weird. Like, and all these people were seeing my paintings and having these really strong responses to the colors and the compositions, and some people would cry. And I'm like, they're just being nice. It just didn't make sense to me that people were having these strong responses to my paintings. And I'm like, I'm a beginner. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just getting this slow thing, and like, the stuff shows up, and I didn't even feel like, I can't even take credit for these, because I feel like I'm putting my butt in the studio and something is coming through me. Right. Anyway, so that's where it all started.
And your art is absolutely amazing. And can you share with our listeners what your website is so they can get on there and take a look for themselves?
Okay, yeah. My website where all of my artwork is leannevenier.com. That's L-E-A-N-N-E, V as in Victor, E-N-I-E-R. And I have a second website, which I recently created specifically because of all the stuff about color, light, and art. I mean, color, light, and flow state. I split off into it. They're interconnected websites. But that, if people want to go and read all the requirements for getting into flow state, that's catalyticcolor.com. CatalyticColor.com. Yeah, like catalyzing color, because that's the foundation. I use color, and I teach in my flow workshops, my creative flow workshops. Color is a huge catalyst for getting into flow state.
And I want to talk more about that, because I think that's really important and fascinating. But we have to go to another quick break. More with Leanne Vanier in a few moments.
Each month, listen to Live More Radio with co-host Ali Katz. Join Ali and Dr. Pat as Ali introduces new ways to bring balance back to your life through meditation, sleep, and exercise techniques so you can live your truly authentic life. Stress less, live more. To learn more about Ali, visit livemoreradio.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Leanne, this hour is just flying by. I know. Our conversations are always too short, you know. We need a 2 or 3 hour show here.
I know. I agree.
That would be fun to manifest, actually. I'd like that.
That would be great.
See what I can do.
Okay. That sounds good, Benny. So anyway, you were talking about the importance of color as it relates to flow state. And I'm both confused and fascinated by that.
Okay. Okay. So the thing that I integrate in my creative flow workshops and training sessions, we're using color as a catalyst for getting into flow state. So all of the research that I found, and I was doing this spontaneously, but now there's all this supporting research that we actually use color. Our bodies use different color frequencies or wavelengths, depending on which term you want to use, to elicit different healing responses. They affect different cellular structures. So we can actually use that energy, that color energy, which is found in sunlight. So we evolved to live under sunlight, which has all the spectral colors in it. So you can use that color energy for inducing flow. And I discovered that spontaneously when I started painting, because those very first flow paintings, and ever since then, I just thought, well, what would it be like if I just, you know, I'm really drawn to this indigo right now. I'm just going to mix up some of this indigo, and I'm like mixing it and staring at it, and I'm like putting in some red and making like it more violet. And I'm like, wow, this, I'm just like, my eyes are just can't get, it's like eye candy for my eyes. Mm-hmm. And by staring at this color that I needed, clearly, I just got into flow state. It catapulted me into flow state. And that's what I found, is like every single time, if I use the colors or I surround myself with the color energies that I need, like in my office, I have, you know, I use different coffee cups on different days, depending on what color energy I'm needing that day.
I get that.
You can have things in your environment that bring in color that help get you into flow state. There's all sorts of ways that people can bring color into their environment. Instead of having drab gray cubicle walls or wherever you happen to work, I mean, if you're in your writing space, if you put up color or have different color splotches on the wall or change your coffee cup, depending on what you're craving that particular day, that literally will help you get into flow state.
It's funny for me when I think about this, because I have a tendency to dress with some bright color on me. But in terms of my home environment, they're muted colors of various sorts. So it's like what I'm looking at and what I'm wearing are two different kinds of colors.
Yeah, well, that's very common. Having certain colors in your home will often be very different from what you put on your physical body, because what you wear on your body is kind of like how you want to project yourself out to the world.
Right.
You may not, like, I love the color red. I don't wear it very often, though, because red is a very high-energy color, and it's also very much an attention-getting color.
Sure.
And I'm kind of an introvert, so I don't necessarily want to be attracting a lot of energy when I'm out, but I love having red in my home.
Okay, you're right.
So you, whatever you want to project outwards, and maybe like I'm feeling like I want to wear blue today, this is making me feel really good, and that's how I want to project myself out into the world. Other days I will wear red. I'm like feeling supercharged, and I want to like talk to a whole bunch of people. So the color, the muted colors in your home, did you choose those?
I did. They're blue greens, green blues, and I've also got like dusty, deep purple.
Okay, so you are kind of going with the more sedating, calming colors in your home environment. Do you work from home? I mean, besides when you're doing...
Well, I do sessions out of the home, and then I do writing and things relating to my workshops, workshop preparation from my home. So it's sort of a mix.
Okay, and what do you tend to wear on your body? What color?
Oh, gosh. Purple, royal blue, you know, teal, and black.
Okay, yeah, okay, well, black is a different thing. We can talk about that if we have time. But so you're still drawn to those more, they're still lower energy colors as far as not sedating. They calm you down. They keep your energy at an even keel. So you're still wearing them on your body, but you're wearing a higher, like more concentrated version of them.
Yes, and less muddied, sort of pure color.
Sure colors. Yep. So in your home, you're kind of got a mix of like maybe some earth tones in there.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So that anytime you're mixing in like browns with the colors, so they become a little bit earthier shade or uh-huh. like a softer shade, that's a grounding. It will give you more groundedness.
Oh, so, I need that.
Yeah.
Because I'm often in the ethers, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, and violet and indigo are colors that naturally bring up your vibration because they're, uh-huh. they, you know, they correspond in the chakra system to the third eye and the crown chakra. Uh-huh. And both of those are like tapping into intuition, and violet is like visionary state. So you're in this expanded state of consciousness.
Right.
So if you're mixing in some brown, it's going to balance that and kind of like bring you back down to earth. So your mm-hmm. feet aren't floating above the clouds.
Yeah.
So that would be that left brain. Okay, I'm going to stay grounded and rooted, but I'm still going to have this spiritual, ethereal kind of experience.
Exactly. So, you know, this hour is ending far too quickly, Leanne. I know you've got a wealth of information on your websites. Can you share again about the one that has information about color and flow?
Yes, that's catalyticcolor.com. CatalyticColor. If people Google my name, it will inevitably come up. Like if they just type in Leanne Vanier color expert or that, it'll show up in the list. So, but it's all about catalyzing color, using color for catalyzing healing, flow state, all optimal satisfaction in life, productivity. I didn't get a chance to talk about this. There's a McKinsey study. They did a 10-year study on top executives, where they found that people that operate in flow state are 500% more productive. You get 500% more stuff done.
Yeah, and it's not about the time. It's actually about the quality of what's coming through.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
It's the end result. So you get there so much faster. You could take 4 days of the week off and work one day and get a full week's worth of work done.
Wow, that's great. You know, Leanne, I always enjoy having you on the show, and I'm really fascinated by all the work you're doing. Thanks again for joining us here today.
Thank you, Christine. I loved it. It was great.
Great. And again, it's LeanneVanier.com and Catalytic Color, what is it again?
CatalyticColor.com.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. And for those of you who are in the Seattle area, I've got an exciting announcement. There is an open house at the place where Peggy Snow and I do sessions. It's called Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa. It's listed on my website. And the open house is this Thursday, the 24th, from 5 to 7 p.m. We'll have snacks and beverages, and you'll have an opportunity to sort of pop onto my table, pop onto our massage table, maybe have a little healing work, and check out where we work. So if you're interested, again, go to stellarreflections.com and you'll find your way to the page about directions and come to Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa in Woodinville. It's very near the 522 freeway, not too far away from 405. So please join us from 5 to 7 on the 24th. Also, for those of you who are light workers, for those of you who want to help people to shift quickly, on October 24th and 25th, I'm offering a 111 activation training seminar. We've got people coming in from various places in the world to learn how to facilitate the 111 activation, which is a hands-off energetic approach to help change a person's vibrational field, to help change the patterns in their life. People have amazing experiences after their 111 activation, and you can learn in just 2 days how to facilitate this for friends, family, and clients. Anyway, thanks a lot for joining us here today. It's always a pleasure talking to you wherever you are in the world. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.